Hello and welcome to another episode of the Halloween Podcast. And today, sorry if my voice sounds a little weird, but I am under the weather. And I tried not to record anything this past week, but I have a special guest that I wanted to get on. So I had to get some Robitussin in me, some cough drops, some water, and I am good to go. So on this episode, I have my friend Sarah with me. Sarah, say hi.
Hi.
So yeah, I invited Sarah on so she can so we can talk about Dia de los Muertos. If you guys don't know what that is the Spanish Halloween or Mexican Halloween, I'm gonna assume. So that's gonna be the topic of this episode. So hopefully it's gonna be cool. We're gonna give you some history. We're gonna give you some hopefully some fun, interesting facts about Dia de los Muertos, because honestly, I am Hispanic, but I honestly have no idea what it's really all about. So I'm glad Sarah's with me. Right, Sarah, are you still there?
It's very exciting and funny because I am not Hispanic and cannot speak Spanish, but I have actually gone to Mexico and celebrated. I'm not going to try to say it in Spanish. The Days of the Dead is the English translation. Of the celebration.
Right. Yeah, Day of the Dead, Dia de los Muertos. So yeah, let's get right into it, because I am fascinated by this stuff. So Dia de los Muertos is, I'm assuming it's celebrated on the 31st?
It's actually a 3 to 2 day celebration. It starts on the 31st. But goes until November 2nd. It's more like instead of a Halloween, it's the celebration of All Saints Day in Mexico. The Mexican culture, which is interesting because although it's a very heavy Catholic culture from the European settlers, the European Catholicism will celebrate All Saints Day in a very somber way. They do like fasting and pray and that kind of thing. While Mexico, you celebrate All Saints Day with the celebration of the Days of the Dead with food and drinking and festival merriment and like just festivals, and it's a real fun time. It's a time to remember the dead and also commune with them.
Oh, so it's kind of like a huge party with the dead. In a way.
Yes. That's exactly how it's viewed traditionally.
Right. Yeah, that's a pretty kind of... it's hard to explain. I mean, I've heard of some cultures keeping the dead around. I know there's a culture somewhere, I'm not sure exactly where, but I hear on... I think it might be on October 31st or something like that. They actually... sit the dead up, like the recently dead, and they like make them walk down the hall or something like that, or down the street, something. I'm not sure.
It's the Asian, I think it's an Asian culture that does that. A lot of cultures have a lot of deep history with the dead. We sanitize it as like a European centric culture.
Right.
In America, well, Mexico and other cultures will celebrate it, especially Mexico. They will make fun of the dead. Not of the dead, but of death. It's very fascinating. And this comes from, really from the indigenous people of Mexico, the Aztecs, and how they view dead and being dead. And especially, so their religion was a polytheistic religion, much like the Greek or the Celt it was many gods and goddesses. And the foundation of their religion was that the gods and goddesses sacrificed themselves to the sun in order to create a balance in the universe. And the Aztec people themselves were tasked with maintaining that balance. And so, well, if the gods and goddesses sacrificed themselves to start the balance, the Aztec people assumed that they should then sacrifice themselves to maintain it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we're not just talking like they would sacrifice like their slaves or something like that. They would do the opposite, and like the highest, they were a warrior-centric culture. So like the strongest warriors, the strongest women, children would be sacrificed as well. And all of this done, from what we can find historically speaking, willingly. I mean, originally, historically, we didn't see that that way, but new studies of ancient texts have come out to say, no, these people went willingly mm-hmm. into sacrifice. And into that, it kind of like, the people that the Aztecs believed in three different parts of an afterlife, and that are three different afterlife places. Okay, where like if you just died of you had a long life and you died surrounded by your friends and family of just old age,
mm-hmm.
You would actually go to the world of the dead that was like really dark and dingy and just like walk. If you died of, like, a world event kind of thing, drowning, lightning, or, like, a disease, you would go to this, like, eternal spring, kind of like how we view heaven as a Eurocentric Christian idealism. Now, if you were a warrior and died in battle, if you're a woman who died in childbirth, or if you were a sacrifice to the gods or goddesses to maintain that balance, it was thought to that as someone in the afterlife, you're immediately taken to the world of the gods and the goddesses in the sun, which was like, if we think like heaven is eternal sunshine, like springtime thing, this was like something even better that they couldn't even really comprehend. It was said that they drank the nectar of the gods
mm-hmm.
that these people would do. So the Aztec people would want to then celebrate the dead, no matter how they died, just kind of like to remember this balance is right. happening. Even though, when we know, the life is, it's all about balance. You live, you die, all that stuff. You go back into the earth, the Lion King, all that jazz.
Mm-hmm. Antelope.
So, yep, exactly. So, the Aztec people would have a 2-month-long celebration of the dead. And it would actually happen closer to August.
Okay.
August, September time, and not the October, November of today.
Mm-hmm.
But they would have 1 month that was just dedicated to children that had died, and then the second month would be the adults who had passed, paying, of course, special attention to those that were the strongest warriors who were sacrificed, or women who died in childbirth, like I said, mm-hmm. or the children sacrificed as well.
Right. The place you wanted to go.
Exactly. The hierarchy of death, basically, in the Aztec world. And so what that, and how that led into what is now celebrated is that the European, quote-unquote, like, discovered Mesoamerica and these people, and they said, oh, you know, You guys need to be Christian because that's how the world's supposed to be. And they, just like, in the European countries where how we got Christmas and that kind of thing, they took the current celebrations and twisted them and made them into the Catholic celebration. So you've got these 2-month-long celebrations of the dead twisted into All Saints Day. Mm-hmm. And they couldn't quite mush everything into one day, which is why it's 3.
So they try to consolidate the 2 months.
Yeah, consolidate 2 months. We'll give you 2 extra days.
Yeah, to get everything in there. So, that's fascinating stuff. Do you know much about the actual celebrations that they do now?
Yeah, definitely. So it starts on October 31st, like I said, and that doesn't start off so much as a celebration. Families will gather to the cemeteries and grave sites of loved ones and actually clean. They would do like a spring cleaning, or I guess a fall cleaning in the sense. It is October.
They'll clean the graves?
Yeah, the graves in the cemetery. And once the cleaning's done, they will then decorate the grave site, the cemetery, and those decorations will spread to like the roadside into the center of town. And the decorations will be actually marigolds and candles, but mostly marigolds. And the reason marigolds are used are indigenous flowers to Mexico, so they're just grown everywhere. And it is said that the Aztec people use them quite frequently in ceremonies, and just, they would always have them around a lot, probably because of their bright orange yellow color, which looks like a candle or a flame. So the reason they will use marigolds to decorate flame like flowers is because it's thought to pull the dead toward the gravesite, because like many cultures, it is believed that, you know, October 31st at midnight, the veil between the world of the living and the world of the dead is lifted, meaning that the dead are able to come into the world of the living. We haven't managed to cross over the other way yet, but I'm sure some on it.
They will figure it out one day.
So the marigolds, the graves, cleaning the graves, bring them to their gravesite, which is like their door into the world of the living. And then the paths of the marigolds will lead them to, like I said, throughout the road, the pathway to the town. And families will have also constructed altars for these loved ones that have died. These altars might be in family homes. Sometimes they're just out in the public square. The concentric view of these altars is that like they're attracting the dead. So you kind of want it in a place that that loved one is familiar with. But also so that more people can commune with them, which is why sometimes you'll find them in town centers in private homes.
Okay.
And again, these altars will marigolds everywhere. They'll have marigolds on them as well. But that's not all. They'll have images of the dead, because, you know, how are you going to know it's your altar if there's a picture of you on it? As well as your favorite thing. So if you're if a child might have passed, the child's favorite like toys will be on the altar. I'm sorry, and like their favorite teddy bear or even new toys for them to experience while they're visiting. There might be favorite foods of that person, favorite drink, and that kind of thing. There are a few things that you'll find on almost every altar, and that is some type of drink, usually tequila or a bowl, I think is how you pronounce it. You probably say it better than I can. which is an indigenous alcohol of Mexico made from the aloe plant. I actually have had it. It's very good.
Yeah. Never had it before.
You can't get it in the U.S. Probably part of it.
Well, I've been to Mexico numerous times, so maybe next time I head down there, I'll find some.
Yeah, you'll have to look for it. There's a special bread called the Bread of the Dead, and I'm going to let you pronounce that in Spanish for me.
El pan de muerto.
Yes. Now, this bread will differ depending on what region you are in. Sometimes it's just the regular bread of that region, but many times it's a sweet bread, or in America, the Hispanic population will use a sweet roll. Mm-hmm. What makes this bread different is that it's decorated. A lot of what the celebration is about flamboyancy, so why not make your bread flamboyant?
Yeah.
As well, they use seeds, dried fruit, rice, and sometimes even the bread itself to form these decorations. Decorations will be bones and skeletons and that kind of thing. But also, in some regions, they will cut and fold the top of the bread so that it forms while it bakes, like petals start forming, so mm-hmm. it looks like it's another major thing. Are candy and sweets, because who does not love something sweet?
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you're in the land of the dead, probably not gonna have too many sweets unless you're died special.
Right.
So especially because you're still got that Aztec belief system going on.
Mm-hmm.
So they must be able to have the dead experience those awesome things about life. One of the major things, and one of the more iconic images, is the sugar skull. I'm sure many of the listeners, as soon as they heard Days of the Dead, pictured that sugar skull.
Yeah.
And what a sugar skull is, it's a skull filled with sugar, sometimes clay, because these are not meant to be eaten. They're meant to be a folk art piece, and they will be decorated with feathers and beads, paint, sequins. I saw one when I was down there that had, it looked as if it was sewed with sequins and beads, but it was all sugar work.
Mm-hmm.
Like the sugar strands, the sugar strands that were holding the sequins and the beads on. So, but you know, who does not still want a piece of candy? They will obviously produce skulls that are meant to be eaten so that you can. And the reason for that is that all of this food and drink is meant to be enjoyed, not just by the dead, but by the living as well. So that there's like a communing factor.
Right.
Together. So during the celebration, all these preparations happen. You make these altars and make sure the dead can get there by creating beautiful pathways, and so then there's just a giant two-day party. During the day, it's a little, you know, there's not too many facilities, but at night, it's just a big party.
So at night when it happens.
Pretty much. And people just gather. They gather around these altars and they'll pray a little, but mostly they're remembering the dead. And they do so by consuming the food and the drink on the altar.
Mm-hmm.
And, which is a little weird, because usually you put something on an altar as a sacrifice, and you're abstaining from that thing. Well, in this celebration, you're doing that because you want to have that communion factor, and the dead can't actually eat the items. So it is said that the dead consume the essence of the item, like the spirit of the item.
Right.
You can then toast your loved one with your loved one.
Hmm.
You know,
like, that's a nice thought.
Kind of thing. Yeah, it's pretty magical.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
So after that's all said and done, what do they do now?
They usually burn. The altars are made out of materials like hay and palm fronds and bamboo and that kind of, like, things they will find.
Mm-hmm.
It's possible because you don't want the dead sticking around. you need to go back to the where they belong, the afterlife. So they'll actually burn everything for the most part, and big bonfires, which in itself is another little reason to party. it's a pretty magical festival, and there's so much to look at.
Yeah, a lot of bright colors, a lot of skulls. I'm pretty sure there's a bunch floating around, a lot of pictures.
Yeah, skeletons are a big part of the facilities, not just because of the sugar skulls and that kind of thing, but they'll make a paper mache skeleton and dress that skeleton in the pose of the recently deceased. There's like a physical representation of the spirit that they're communing with. However, not every skeleton you see will be a representation of someone who's really before. And I think another image a lot of the listeners are picturing is of La Katrina, who is Gemini skeleton. She's always pictured with this giant vibrant hat that's heavily decorated with flowers and feathers and a dress that has a wide boat neck and a long flowing skirt. Sometimes she'll even have a feather boa and a flower in her teeth. And she is an icon now of the celebration. Okay. But she was originally created as a political cartoon. She was drawn as a print in a newspaper comment on how some of the indigenous people of Mexico were casting off their roots and trying to become European, as many of the cultures that European settlers have gone through. And a lot of the feelings in Mexico was that, hey, let's not do this, and it's kind of silly that you are, because deep down we're all the same, the skeleton. And she became so popular that Diego Rivera, who is one of the most famous artists to come out of Mexico, added him into one of her, added her into one of his pearls, and kind of how she took off. And now she's used as a kind of tongue-in-cheek way to say, hey, like, death is coming for you. It doesn't matter if you're rich. It doesn't matter if you're poor. We're all going to die, and we're all going to be gone.
Death does not discriminate.
Not at all. She's pretty cool, and you'll see her in a lot of imagery. I've seen a lot of Halloween stores lately. In the past couple of years, actually have costumes to dress up as her.
Oh, nice.
She's pretty cool. Yeah, a lot of the celebrations, if you pay attention to American obsession with Halloween, which is great because it's why this podcast exists, has been pulling other cultures' traditions surrounding the Halloween holiday, and one of this is the celebration of the dead. They've been pulling, like I said, the costumes, the La Katrina, sugar skulls, and even remembering the dead in different ways, which I think is neat. However, unfortunately, that's not happening so much in Mexico. Not that the tradition is dying, it's changing. Just like America is pulling Mexican traditions, Mexico is pulling American traditions, so that the younger generation are trick-or-treating during the festivities. Kids are getting dressed up in costumes, just like here, so you'll see Captain America. I think I saw like 10 Spider-Man, one of the Spider-Man movies that just come out.
Yeah.
When I was there, little kids with their little jack-o'-lantern bucket, you know, paying homage to the altars and that kind of thing. It's it's really neat how cultures overlap. Mm-hmm. Many people fear that the celebration will die. I don't personally, because they've lasted this long. They've lasted since the Aztecs.
Right.
If you look at history, if the spread of Catholicism and European values to different areas did not fill those traditions, I don't think the modern world will either.
Right.
So that's my opinion.
No, I don't think it's going to go away either. I mean, I still see it in movies. I see it in TV shows. I do see the costumes. What was that?
Yeah, I said you're seeing it a lot more, too.
Yeah, I've been noticing it more. And that's why when you came up with this topic idea, it fascinated me. And I said, oh, yeah, that's that sounds cool. Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. So one of my favorite episodes of Criminal Minds actually featured the celebration of the Days of the Dead.
Oh, really?
Cool. Yeah. One nice. Of the characters grew up in a Hispanic household. Huh. It was cool. It was a flashback episode.
Yeah. Well, I think the only episode, TV episode that I could think of that had Day of the Dead stuff was back in like the early 2000s with Lizzie McGuire. They did a whole thing on it.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. That was a good one, too.
That was a good episode.
Fire, right?
Yeah, they made that one girl think that she was cursed or something because she dishonored the gods or something.
Yes, yes.
Good times.
Uh-huh. Well, none of the traditions is really about being cursed, so I don't think our listeners have to worry about that too much.
No. But still, I mean, be respectful of other people's cultures. Yeah. And be respectful of what they're doing. You always have to remember those that we've lost. I've lost people before. I have two of my cousins. Recently, I just celebrated one of my cousins who passed away. Incidentally, passed away on my birthday. And it happened a couple days ago. So I had that to think about. And who knows, maybe this year I'll pay him some homage to Dia de los Muertos with. I'll bring him a bottle of brandy or something.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll like that while he's visiting the world of the living.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so is there anything else you want to add to our Day of the Dead discussion?
Not that I can think of. No. I hope everyone enjoyed learning a little bit of the history of a different culture and how they celebrate Halloween.
Mm-hmm. Alright, so that's going to do it for this episode of the Halloween Podcast. As always, you could find us on Facebook at facebook.com/... I almost messed up there. facebook.com/ The Halloween Podcast. You could also send me an email at thehalloweenpodcast@gmail.com. If you want to get a hold of Sarah, you can go ahead and send me an email there. I will forward it along. Let her know that... you dig this episode. So yeah, Sarah, thank you so much for coming on. It was a blast. Hope you had fun.
It was so much fun. Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, no problem. So I will get out of here, and you guys have a good night. Goodbye.
Bye.